just a few verses concerning Moses from verse 24 to 27. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to endure the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, as seeing him who was in the It was suggested today, as we used to do, you remember, at the beginning of these meetings, to ask one to just give a summing up at the end of the meetings of that which had been before us. And when it was expressed today, one said neither yes nor no, having nothing in mind with a view to that. As our brother had just been speaking to us about the day of small things, this little passage shot into one's mind, and I cannot help but think in regard to it, if we wanted an example of an overcomer, we've certainly got it in Moses. And I would like just a few moments to follow down these well-known verses in relation to this remarkable man, certainly connected himself with the day of small things, his very birth that we didn't touch on for the moment, and the smallest day probably of Israel's history in this world. With godly parents who had the thought of God before them, preserving this child that they saw perfect, beautiful before God, and the result of it worked out in his own experience, succinctly summed up here for us in this remarkable man. Our brother was speaking about him the other night on the Mount Horeb, the way he was when God called him. And again, in looking at another passage, as we sometimes do, the 7th chapter of Acts, where his history is taken up, it has oftentimes been pointed out that this man's history was wrapped up in three sections of 40 years. And the best explanation ever I had of those 40 years was this, that in the first 40, he was learning to be something. He became great. But in the next 40, he was learning to be nothing at the backside of the desert. Slow, don't send me, send somebody else. But the last 40, he learned that God was everything, both in Egypt, in the wilderness, as he took the people, and that for one failure that came to light, he might have taken them right into the land of promise. But here is this man with this remarkable history. We might quote the words I don't want to take away from what our brothers has been saying to us. A man that might have despised the day of small things had God allowed him, but he rose out of those small things as one individual. And I was impressed, as our brother said, though we noted before, it came with fresh impression tonight. Work! Get something done! When this man was taken up by God and did begin to work, I think I need not press it upon you people how very successfully he worked for God, both in Egypt and in the wilderness, apart from that one failure that marked him. But in this little section, his history is summed up in these four verses, in four distinctive words. And it was these four words I really just impressed to pass on, seeing it was suggested again, we might try a little summing up of our meetings. And the first thing, of course, that said about him, that said about them all, practically in this chapter is, by faith. I suppose the best explanation we have of faith is this, confidence in God. The best one I know, but may I say again in regard to many of these statements, don't think, beloved, we are dogmatic about these statements. You may have a better expression of the thing than I have. But so far as I've heard, the best explanation of faith is this, confidence in God. We've not seen him. He's not shown us heaven. We don't know what it will be like when we get there, apart from some moral and spiritual features we are told in the Word of God. But we receive the testimony. We believe what God has told us, and we're absolutely sure He'll bring it all to pass. And that's why we suggest in this wonderful chapter, faith is confidence in God. And the first thing said about him by faith Moses, when he was come to years, you may know that in another translation that term is rendered, when he became great. It wasn't when he was downcast and downtrodden. I think it's been rightly said about him. He probably already had one foot on the throne of Egypt, and perhaps had he continued in the road he was going, he might have ended there. He was a man great, with something in this world to boast about, but of his own volition, by faith, the first word we wanted to point out was this, that if he was old. Egypt, we know, is a type of this world, whether it be the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, or the pride of life. It's a type of this world. The lust of the flesh, self-possession. The lust of the eyes, self-estimation. And or the pride of life, self-estimation. I'm sorry, I got those mixed up just a little bit. Self-possession and self-estimation, all that is in this world. But he was a man, had the thing under his hand. We might almost say he had it within his hand, in his grasp. And the first thing that faith led him to do was to refuse that position, because he saw it was coming under the judgment of God. Oh, beloved, I'm sure every one of us tonight know very well this world is coming under the judgment of God. Why spend our time there, our ambition there, and seeking something there? As a brother pointed out, we must distinguish about these things. Here we are living in this world, in flesh and blood condition, and certain right things have to be done. But if it's the prizes of this world, and the glories of this world, the ambitions of this world, I hope, like Moses, we've come to this judgment. Not all. It's all coming to an end one of these days. Was it here this week that we said about a remark that one brother passed to another, and I reputed to be pretty wealthy had died, and another one said to him, do you know how much he left? Yes, said the brother, everything. And yet we only kept that in mind at times. How it would destroy this idea of things in this world. But I'm perfectly sure Moses in some way, by faith it discerned, God was going to put his hand in judgment upon Egypt and these poor, slavish, downtrodden people were the people of God. We know the history. When he took sides, he went to visit his brethren. You see, he never forgot he belonged to them. He never either believed that he was an Egyptian, never from the outset, but it was 40 years before he declared himself. And it may be with every one of us today, there must come a moment, I trust that moment has come, when we're quite prepared to declare ourselves, we don't belong to that, we belong to this, however small it may look, as we have heard. And I'm going to take sides with that, because that's of God, and the rest is coming under the judgment of God. And I believe it was in the smiting where the first thing began of that Egyptian, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. There's more to it, of course, but that's where he declared himself. The result, as we know, was those 40 years in the backside of the desert. Why is that not put in here? I'll tell you why. Because that wasn't faith. That's when Moses had confidence in himself. He was learning to be great. And he used that greatness and had led him for 40 years, as we have said, the man that learned to be something, to learn to be nothing. Can we press that again about weakness? God cannot use us, beloved, if we think we are great. Once I get this insane idea into my mind of what I'll do, and I'll do this, and I'll do that, why, I'm useless in the hands of God. But once I take my place humbly, dependent, in weakness and conscious of one's weakness, dearly need of grace, dearly need of power, it is only then I believe that God can come in and take up such a vessel, display his power through it, as he certainly did with this man Moses. But the first word then began, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. But that was only one side. We spoke, didn't we, today, about a door having two sides. He didn't only, as it were, close the door on Egypt. He opened the door to this other line of things. Choosing. Following the refusal, the next word is choosing. Rather than suffer affliction with the people of God. Oh, there wasn't any kingdom and riches to be seen attached to Egypt. But humble though they may be, lowly though they were, downtrodden slaves, he of his own volition, not forced into it, but of his own volition, he threw in his lot with these downtrodden people, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God and to endure the pleasures of sin for a season. Oh, yes, it was coming to an end, indeed it did come to an end. And how well we are, how right we are when we constantly remember this, that there is attached to the saints of God. Did we not see in our reading this afternoon? I'm quite sure what that elder brother said to me was right. That what God is putting into our souls today is not only going into the kingdom and the world to come, it's going into eternity, and that new heaven, as God will secure for himself through Israel and the nations, something on that new world. Everything else is going under the judgment of God, except what the Spirit of God forms in every one of our souls concerning Christ. Thank God that's not only going into the kingdom, it's going on forever. Choosing rather than for the moment to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. There's a third word in verse 26. Esteeming. Oh, yes, he had a right judgment about these things. Now we read about his estimation. Very approach of Christ. Here again, beloved, just a moment to think about that. Let us remember we're attached to a man that this world has refused. I do not doubt you, as we have had to receive the scornful retort about being religious and all this sort of thing. Christ is no more wanted in this world today than when he was here. And the very fact that the refuse of a little testimony when we have opportunity to bear testimony to Christ is a proof that this world, under the domination of Satan, no more wants Christ today than ever they did. Why put that in relation to the day of Moses, esteeming the reproach of Christ? My beloved, I believe that goes right back to the Garden of Eden, the reproach of the Christ. That's where it began. When God made promise about the seed that would destroy the serpent, treading on his head, destroying his power, thou shalt bruise his heel, but he shall bruise thy head. Satan knew, I believe, from the outset, that God intended bringing in a man that will ultimately lead to his destruction. And I'm perfectly sure, too, when Christ was born into this world, he knew very well that was the man. You remember the attempt again with Herod, putting all the male children to death, or at least he did put the male children to death, the reprint of what this king of Egypt had done, you remember, putting them to death from 2 years old and on that. This other attempt to crush out Christ has been that line running right through. So now, thank God, it's come to our day. That Christ is named to us today. Why, it's our Lord Jesus Christ, in whom we have believed, who has accomplished that work, risen again, gone back to glory, and at the moment is gathering together the fruits of that victory, and every one of us in this room tonight are part of it. Just another simple word, though I didn't intend speaking very long on that sort of victory. I remember as a young believer once asking Mr. Magrow, I said, why do you think, Mr. Magrow, when we were born of God, why did he not destroy the old nature within us? I had the imagination and thought, what a wonderful life we would live. And there's no doubt, of course, it would have been a wonderful life. Why didn't God put an end to that old nature? Was the question I asked him. I can still see the smile on his face, sort of some sympathetic smile. Might have thought that himself something else. And this is what he said. He said, I can tell you God's done something greater than that. Oh, yes, he said, wait, I'll tell you. He spoke the very best, alongside the very worst, giving you the power to say yes to the best and no to the worst, and you're a victory for God every day. Now I believe that comes in here. You say, where is that? Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. And here in this line, born of God, sincere desires, holy desires, divine desires, we too can go on. Thank God with the right estimation. And what is a God is the thing to go in for in this world? And it's of greater riches, of more value to me than all that I might have had. For it says he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He didn't only look around, no. That's what happened, wasn't it, when he slew the Egyptian. He looked this way, and he looked that way. That's often been said, if he'd only looked that way, at that time, things might have been different. But however, God had his hand upon him, and his ways with him. But the day did come, you know, when he did look that way. Yes, it wasn't this way or that way. He looked that way, having respect unto the recompense of the reward. And how wise we are if we, like that, instead of looking at this thing and that thing, keep our eyes upon the goal, and as we seek to go on each and our little service for the Lord, and it's only little with any one of us, you in your small corner, we sometimes teach the children, and I in mine. And so long as we can keep that humble, simple thought in our mind, I'm but one simple, lowly servant, you in your small corner, and I in mine, how wonderful it is we can press on with our eyes upon the goal, ever remembering that everything that we do for Christ will have an answer in the world to come. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, and they had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Now the fourth word is in verse 27. By faith it was through Egypt. What was the good of going on with a land like that? He knew it was coming under the judgment of God. He himself had come to a judgment about it. Why, what was the thing? He forsook that land altogether. By faith it was through Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. This wasn't when he ran away. We probably should have corrected that. This is when he took the children of Israel out, of course, in triumph. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. One of those words in the 15th chapter of Exodus we discovered, in when Pharaoh said, now, we've let the people go, we've made a mistake, we'll go after them. And I just kind of, for the moment, think of the word, but I remember looking it up and finding it meant this. I will overtake, I will repossess them. I discovered that was the meaning of that word. I'll get them next. Have you ever thought that's what the devil's after every day with each one of us? Be sure of this, he is. As sure as Pharaoh was after them that day, God is out today to repossess, the devil is out today to repossess every one of us if he can. Ah, but he didn't repossess these people no more than he repossessed Moses. He forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. And here is the fourth word that we have in mind. They endured as seeing him that was invisible. I suggest then, beloved, at the end of our readings, these are four words that will mark an overcomer. A refusal in regard to what is here going on in this world. A choosing and laying all my faith on that which the Lord has laid out and laid before us. Esteeming, having regard to what the Lord has called us to, and the end of his view, and enduring, seeking daily grace to go on in that pathway, whatever the opposition, and he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Somebody said, of course, today about being fantastic. Yes, of course it will be fantastic to think we're going to be raptured away, and how can you see a thing that's invisible? So these people say to us. Don't you can see what's invisible? I'm sure you do, as well as I can. What it simply means is this. We get a divine enlightenment in our souls, in our hearts, if you like, about divine things that nobody could show you. I nearly said in black and white, but thank God we've got the record of them in black and white. We couldn't show you like I can show you that Bible. There's the thing. No, beloved, we cannot. And thank God we cannot. Because if we could, it would still be something connected with this world, not the spiritual, heavenly, eternal things to which we are going at the end of that pathway of endurance that we are. The Lord help us then to imitate these things. If Few of us were great like Moses, probably, when the call of God reached us. But the world still appeals. The world will still have us back. And Satan, too, will get us back if he possibly can. But let us seek by faith and to pursue the path and the line that we have, that which is pleasurable to the Lord. Quite assured, the end will be in the glory when we are with him.